McManus Pharmacy, Main Street, Clara, are here for you, thanking you all for your understanding and patience during this difficult time. Get prescriptions filled, fast and in confidence. Phone or text ahead and we'll have what you need ready when you are. We have a huge selection of health and beauty products in store, as well as a private consultation room. If you have a health or well-being query, call today on 057-936-8852 or WhatsApp 085-851-7959. From all the team here at McManus Pharmacy, stay safe and well.
Broadcasting live from the little town of Clara, County Offaly, it's What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Get in touch today through all our social channels and have your say. Oh, and thanks for listening. Now it's over to you, Lloyd. What's the story?
I'm not dead, baby. I'm just having a break.
This is indeed a historic evening for Clara Town. Clara's most famous son returns home.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show. Three to get ready now. Go, cat, go, but don't you step on my blue suede shoe. Well, you can do anything but take me over my blue suede shoe.
Hi everyone, welcome back. It's Thursday and it's What's the Story live here from the Raheen Radio Studios in Clara. Thank you all who tuned in last week. There were some great Clara tunes picked by the equally great Joe Rabbit. It was great crack here and a bit of banter. It's great to have our local artists on the airwaves, in fairness, and Raheen Radio will be back at the end of each month with a guest co-host, so stay tuned for that. We'll also have more of Tara's Look Back. And our very own Gyarados Celsius will take on the weather again. If you'd like to play a request on any of the podcasts for anyone, just check out the Little Town Media Facebook page. Right, it's time to introduce this week's guest. He's a man that needs very little introduction, or because he'll probably tell you himself anyway. But that's if we can get a word of him. We'll see how we get on anyway. I'm delighted to introduce to you Seanie Monaghan. What's the story?
Oh, Lloyd, how's it going? Thanks for having me on the show.
Did you like your little Elvis intro there?
Oh, it was a great entrance there. Very impressed. Look, it's great to be on the show. And everybody loves your show. You're doing great work. And we all listen in every week. Everyone wants to know where everyone came from. And we're all nosy. We want to know who you're from.
Nosy, Seanie. Seanie, that little piece of Elvis they played there, let's just get on to that straight away. The King. Where did that come from? Who was responsible for that?
Oh, geez, that's a long story. The King. Everybody in Clara has a nickname. You have Scutchy Rick or the Raw Kind.
Some that doesn't know about it.
I think it came from indoor football and from playing all the tournaments and everything like that. You just eventually, they call me the King. That was that. But it's a bit of cracking, you know, the whole cracking hat, Clara.
So that's stuck then for many years. That's stuck a long time.
Oh, jeez, that's going on since 1977 or 70. Indoor football, when I was famous for about 3 years.
Well, Seanie, before you were known as the King, before you became like a king in Clara, where did Seanie Monaghan come from?
I was born in Pulla, because everybody asked me, where are you from? If I'm Rahan or Pulla, where are you from? I was born in Pulla in Tyrone, up near the lakes there.
Right.
We stayed with my granny and grandfather. They had a thatched house. And I remember my granny's house well. She had a big dresser and all the delf, and she had cups and all these jugs. And that always sticks in my mind. She had a big fireplace. And at night time when she'd be raking the fire, she'd take the coal out and pour it into the ashes. That would keep it raked for the next morning. Okay. She had a settle bed as well. But there was a row who was going to sleep in the settle bed.
What was a settle bed?
What was a settle bed? You see, you're too young to remember this.
Thank God.
Look, it was like a seat and that. It was made of timber. You had two hooks each side. You could lay it down. You get into it and you'd sleep in it. Now, I used to sleep with my granny and grandfather, but there was more coats over us than blankets. but when you lay it up in the there's a photo at home of that. When you lay it up, you could see in it. They made a sea of it. But that was that. Then what I used to remember well was toasting the bread in the fire. We used to get forks at home and we'd be putting it, that was a novelty. Now the toast was burnt a lot, but it was a great crack. My granny had put the tongues across it and we'd put the slices of bread and toast that. Then she used to make his cocoa, you know. But before she'd have the water going over, we'd have it eaten out with the freaking cuffs.
So from the start, your granny was a big part of your life then?
Yeah, my granny Buckley, yeah. She used to play accordion as well. There was music in the house. There used to be Kathleen O'Brien's granny, they're two sisters. Kathleen would be delighted to be relating me, tell me about the double relation. Two brothers married two sisters there. But they used to be playing music every Saturday night. She'd go over, do you know Stewart's in Ballycumber? Mm. Stewart's had music that time. My granny used to go over, that was Molly Buckley, her sister. She'd want to play the tambourine, someone to play the spoons. That was a music night over there on that. And my grandfather, Bill Buckley, but he was originally from Rahan. The memories I have of him was we'd go to the bog and in the summer. Now, we didn't do a whole lot. We were getting into the asses cart going on to Tyrone Lakes to cut turf. But we were there. There was a fella, one day we were wheeling turf out in the bog, you see. Remember, my grandfather was Rael Wehi. And Patjo Buckley, he was an uncle of Shawnee's here in Clare. He'll be a harmless Patjo, but a lovely character. And we're talking about saints and that, you know. So Patjo said, yes. Patjo had an old barrow now, and it was absolutely ready to fall asunder. There was a big wheel, a wooden wheel in it, and the whole... you'd feel sorry if it was tied with wire. But he said, my grandfather's always real witty, you know. So he said to him, Bill Buckley, he says, do you believe in saints and that? My grandfather says, I do, Petro. And he said, well, I believe, he said, my favourite saint is St. Joseph. He says, why is that, says my grandfather? He says, well, he worked hard and he was a carpenter. My grandfather said to him, well, maybe if you pray to him, he'll make you a barra, he said. But that was the story of that. But we drew the turf in the summer in Tyrone, and that was that. I went to Pullis School at the age of six, and we had to bring a bottle of tea that time, where some people brought a bottle of milk. We used to bring a sod of turf in each, everyone did. And you warm the fire. No, we didn't get much tea out. The teacher was always, Mrs. McGuire was her
was
name.
Was that the equivalent now of bringing in €2 in school now?
It's the same idea. But she would sit in front of the fire, and he had a fire, but we didn't. Well, it was nice to look at the fire anyway, you know. But that was the memory of that. So I have great memories in Pulla altogether like that. And
who else was in your granny and grandfather's house then, Sean?
My mother and father. And I had three brothers. Ken wasn't born at the time. There was Brendan living in Clara. We all had the Clara.
Right.
The road was the only road out of Pulla anyway. But there was Brendan. I have a brother living in Forban, Ned. He lives in Forban. No one sees him at all. He's the king of Forban.
He's the good looking lad.
He's the good looking one. He lives in Forban there. And she had Brendan in the green. But my mother, she had four sisters. And they all worked on good bodies. You had Essie, she's living in Kilcarmack now. You have we have Maggie May down there, the councillor down in Railway View.
So that was the trip in every morning then?
That was the trip. So good buddies, remember they used to send the bus out there. I think Ginger Dunn or Joe Collins, someone used to drive it. But it kept us going there. It kept them all going. But great memories. We used to play football down in the road. We had two cuts. We were looking over at Johnny Coney. He only lived straight across the field from us there. He'd be kicking the football after Gable ended the ball. We all wanted to be like Johnny Coney, but... Yeah. I think I broke more flowers belonging to my granny and things like that. That was the memories I have of Pulla. But there was a fella, Rock Rosney was his name, you know. Martin, everyone has a nickname. So him and Judy was there one day. They were sitting at the fire. But Martin was interpreted by farm. Bill says to me, this is my grandfather, what's wrong with you, Martin, you know? Martin says, Billy, he said, I got sacked. I was in Bournemouth, I got sacked. And he says, so what did you do? He said, I done nothing, says Rock. Well, says my grandfather, maybe that's why they sacked you. That's the whole thing that I pull it. No,
so it sounds like great old crack growing up. Times,
yeah,
obviously,
yeah,
like most people back then, but you had the crack, the music, yeah, and the toast and the bread.
Yeah, look at that. That was all great. Of course, my father was a Monaghan from Rahan. That's a great Monaghan, a great Rahan name, you see. So we moved down then up in the home place up to Rahan. And my father got the home place. So moving to Rahan was grand because it was a big house. It was three rooms. And it was the Monaghans built that. They were all builders, the Monaghans.
Did you mind leaving your granny then?
Look, we're at the age of it. It was a big change for us. Well, when we headed to Rahan, our house was a kilometre in after road. Now, there was one more house beside there, Buckley's. They were related to us. There would have been two or three houses on the way just in there. And... when we moved in there, it was a big change going to Rahan School. We had to walk 3 kilometres to school. So that was a long old walk. We headed off to Rahan School anyway. When we moved up there, we had a choice, go Rahan or Pulla. For Father Heaney came up and he said, you're in Rahan Parish. He's the boss.
We need the numbers.
So. But when I went to Rahan School, it was a boys' school. Pulla was a mixed school, you know. It was a big difference.
Yeah.
But you'd be walking to school there in the mornings and... then a bus came in, but we weren't, you had to be 5 kilometres or something to get the bus. We were 5 kilometres, you had to be air or something to get the bus. We just missed it there. But going to Rahan School was a big change. We had a teacher, Master Sweeney, and he was cross now and that, but he was leaving, so we were all delighted. When he left, there was a Christian Broderick fella came in, and he started teaching. We were delighted for a while, but I didn't like school anymore after that. We just never got on. We used to walk to school. If you were late for school, he'd say to the brother, I don't know why he ever done, we always chat about this, go out and get a steak. And you get the steak, so we get 5 slaps each.
For late.
Yeah, I remember pulling back my hand one day, and he came back up, and he got me and the knuckles. So I didn't like school after that, you know. I had no time for school after that. But I memories of Derek Holy, Tom, and Derek Holy was around the bug of my father in the summer. And one summer, we had an Anglia car. Well, we were reversing back in the bug, myself and Brendan, and the brother was in the back. You know the way when you're hauling out the door? My mother had this Anglia car. We were all looking back, reversing real hard. It was, do you know all the dust and that had been rising? So, the next thing we heard an outrageous bang, and I reversed him back, and I said, please God, make nothing wrong with the car, because my mother was going to kill me. I blessed myself, I got home, and I looked all around the car, and I said, there wasn't a mark in the car. I got back in, and I closed the door, and I said to the brother beside me, Brendan, I said, thank God for that. I says, I'll never do anything wrong again, God. I says, I go to Mass if it's not. But Brendan was sitting like this, and he said, with his two knees up like that, we were after running over a big rock up in the road. It came up through the Angley car. So we had to get a brainwave. We had to get the jack under the car to try and get the off the rock. So we got it off anyway. And the next thing, we went down to Buckley's next door and we got a lump of galvanized and we put a bit of carpet over the freaking. So it looked all right. But my mother.
Did she ever find out?
Well, here's the story. The next morning, my mother was going to Mass in the college and they came home anyway. It was after being raining. And she said, Brendan, and she says, that car is leaking. She says, my feet's all wet over on her side. My father was very quiet though. He went out and he pulled back the yoke and here was a big hole in the middle of the car. Well, he told her it was only the rubbers and that. He went over to Tony Higgins the next day and we got it welded. But we destroyed the car anyway. That was the memory in that. But great memories with my father up in the bog. We'd be cutting the turf. That time you'd be cutting with a slant. You had to clean the banks. Would you remember that now?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't now, Sean.
Sinead and them used to come up with us that time. But
the bog, you know, you're saying there from pulling out a big part of your life.
Yeah.
Probably a big part of everybody's life.
Oh, yeah, sure. My father worked on board in the morning for a while there, yeah. Then he broke his leg. And I had good memories of myself and my mother going up in the bike to get his wages on a Tabura on the back of a bike. It used to be a row who'd be going by. He seemed to always got the old trip. But she used to buy these pink waver biscuits. I remember them well. I think you can still get them somewhere. But 3 or 4, we'd eat the package and have a bottle of orange coming down. That was good memories of that as well.
Take me back to your father for a second there, cutting the turf
manually,
no machines, running
there. He had a sleigh and that, and he'd cut the turf, and we'd catch it when he'd throw it out to us and pour it on the barrow. He used to say, 2 row on a rider. You put the 2 row on one on top, and then we'd wheel it out. And you'd be waiting, they'd have a kittle down then with a few sticks and a few sods. You'd be waiting, it seemed to be ever for a kittle boiling. You were always hungry when you got to the bog. But tea in the bog was always lovely like that. But my father was, I don't think he ever his in his life. He was a very quiet man and a good character as well. But he got a job in the council then. But Derek Holy, we had no running water in Derek Holy, so we used to have to walk to the well. It was about a kilometre, near half a kilometre again down to Spring Well and that. I remember there was a big hill in the well, you know, a big hill down there. And my father would be always any of the lads at home, the Brian, when he was young and the boys, he'd be saying, when they'd come out, that Finn McCool was buried there, you know. But Brian was in school one day, he always tells this, and I think Brother Marcellus or one of them was asking him, does anyone know where Finn McCool is buried? And Brian says, I do, he boys, hand up. He says, where? He's buried in my granddad's out in Derek Holy. He says, everybody start to laugh at him. But that's the memories. No, Derek Holy.
Would you change anything about them times? Like a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Walking for water and
yeah.
that.
Sure. Look at Derek Holy. When we went to Derek Holy, though, it was a kilometre in after road and then walking through. We used to go across a shortcut some days to Simon Casey's mother. She only lived a field away from us. And his granny. She used to always give us a bit of brown bread and jam. And she used to give us these perfume bottles. I always remember these old spice bottles, but there was a ship on them and it looked lovely getting one.
I was wondering what your aftershave was.
that's the secret. Yeah, no, that's the memories of going down there. But
so did you do secondary school at all, Sean?
Jez, you know how brainy I am. I hated ran school with the teacher. I just didn't like it. But we left and went to the Tech in Tullamore. I only went there for a few months. I was on the Offaly vocational school team. And I was enjoying that. And I think we're in the Leinster quarter final or something. But a job came up in Lumley's in the meantime. So we left that and I went to Lumley's in Tullamore. I think it was about, I would have been only going in 15 there, going there.
Okay.
Yeah, so that was doing cherries. You were making cherries, Lumley's. There's that same, just in the square there in Tullamore, Lumley's. And stand there for about, I think it was 4 months or 5 months. I got a job in Cap'n Corrigeanery. That was making windows and that.
How long was this now after you went into from secondary school to start work?
Yeah, oh, I'd say I would have been about 4 or 5 months, 6 months in the, yeah.
I just give it a good old shot. Yeah.
There used to be a chip shop in the square there, Chip Kelly's was the name of it. We get a few chips there and that, and a fish, and that was that. No, I just never liked school after that. But there's one poem I don't know, I had to write it out one day for talking. I don't know why, for me.
Imagine that, I couldn't understand that.
The Daffodils, I never forgot, by William Wordsworth. I wondered lonely as a cloud that floats on high o'er vales and hills, when all at once I saw a crowd of hosts of golden daffodils. That's always in my mind, that one.
It's bad things you never forget, isn't it?
I had to write it out 10 times one time.
So how did Shawnee Monaghan get to Clara? How were you allowed into Clara? Let that happen?
Who let the dogs out? That's a long story. Well, it was in the Cap'n Corrigeanery, and Jimmy Kennedy, our house was a Waffle Ramblin' house in Derricooley. Just the whole country must have been in it, you know. For a house that was in so far after all, the whole country must have been the bog as well, you know. Jimmy, you come out with crane slamming and all the boys. There was Stephen Newman. You know when you're going out with the women, you'll do any work. The boys would be wheeling turf. Maggie Scanlon used to be out there. Lee Mannion. I think all the Clara came out to our house. And, you know, and even learning to drive cars, all the lads in Silverdale, Joey Dean, all the boys came out and drove in Granny Manning's, you know. I used to wear every evening from my mother on a tree going up the road. That's how I learned to drive. It was a mile in it. Every evening when she's coming from work, I used to weigh in the tree, jump down, drive the car up the road. And that was my spin every week, every day. But Jimmy Kennedy was out there. And my mother was saying his rent and going and Bob. Bob had great wages at the time. They were out there and he said, I'll ask Johnny Judge or Seamus Doherty. He said, if there's anything going. So I'd been named down on board in the morning as well at the same time. And so just the following week he came out and he said, look, you're to go in and see Johnny Judge. I had it off to Clara anyway, and sure. I went in and put down my name. He says, well, when can you start and that? So that was it. That was the beginning. But that was a great adventure for me coming to Bofa, because remember my first day I walked in and there was a few lads looking at me, all right, for a while. I pulled up, I was after coming in and I had the 50.
Had you the long hair now at this stage?
Oh, just, yeah, well, I had the long hair. I was like an Indian at one stage, but I came in and Johnny Judge looked at me for a minute and he says to me, get in there and get a hairnet. I say, what's the hairnet for? So we planned the hairnet, and next thing the hand just did love. It was like going to jail for a while. But there was, there must have been 200 working there. You know, there was 10 lads in each belt, and the belts would be going slow. A lot of said you couldn't have a pig's ear or something, but they were frozen. You had Jimmy Kennedy down at the end of the belt, and Bertie McMahon up at the other end. You just couldn't go wrong. But when you come in of a Monday morning, anyway, if say a lad was after going off at someone or anything wrong, or you're out late, you know, nothing wrong, the first thing you hear around 9:15 of the morning is D. E. Vicarja. That was Jimmy Kennedy. And we'd all look round to see who's in trouble. And you'd hear someone saying, there's a man seen coming up with the back of the fire station last night. And then you'd look at Leslie Duffy Learn Wrestling for someone getting red. So you knew you were in trouble. But there was waffle slagging after.
And it was the Monday post-mortem of the weekend.
If a lad done that wrong, the first badge you go down to was Jimmy Kennedy at the end of the belt. And Bertie H. out, red faced Jimmy. Everybody had Bertie had a nickname on everyone. So that was the banter. The crack was great. And Bob, I remember on a Valentine's Day, if you weren't doing that well around, and the lads feel sorry for you, I think I got one myself. You know, you get a Valentine's card, the postman comes in, and you're looking around and you're not saying that, but you're excited. Then you go to the toilet. And you're gone about 5 or 10 minutes, but you're inhaling roses are red, violets are blue. One day, a sugar is sweet and so are you. When you're all delighted and you're trying to think who sent you this. Of course, it's the secret admirer. So you walk back out after the break and you're delighted. And the next thing, there's a big roar and everybody's betting the belt. You know you've been framed.
Sealed with a loving kiss.
Sealed with a loving kiss, you know. But the jokes there was great, but just Johnny Delaney was getting married when Farrell Kearney went over to lift off his cap. We said, you go down, you know, you lift the lad's cap off and you let her roar. But Johnny turned around with the knife and he gave him about 40 stitches. Farrell was going off like that, yeah. I think Farrell will remember that. But just the funny
thing. I don't think you forget that.
It was, we were there, you see, when I started in Boba and we started the soccer, Billy Smith, Johnny Scully and Nolly McCarty, they had grand tashes. And so I said, look, at I'm going to, the boys, I'd always kind of look up to Johnny Scully and Ray Horn and the boys like Paddy Hines. They had these grand.
They were the trendsetters.
They were the lads that when you go in first and they were great at the old soccer and everything. So they were kind of my idol at the time. So I started growing the tash, but my tash didn't turn out that black. It wasn't the normal one anyway. So I was at home one, I think it was a Sunday night, you know. Lynn Rowe or something was on. So I was rooting on my mother's mantelpiece and I just seen something black anyway, but I rubbed it on my tash like that. And give it a bit of trimming. I think I looked like Clara Cable or Earl Flynn. But I came in my tash as granite black anyway. So I was one of the boys for the moment. I never forget poor old Pike Welch. You know Pike, dear? Hey, he said to me, how did you get your tash so black? I said, it's a long story. He said, you may tell me. I told Pike, you put the bit of dye I had a bit. He said, would you better get me a bit? So that time you're young, you wouldn't bother doing anything for that. So he was out for a whole week. Did you get me that yet? Did you get me that yet? So one Sunday night I was at home and I seen a tube of dye again, something that B was drawing it anyway. And I grabbed it and I brought it in. I gave it to Ger anyway, you know. And Ger was there and walking around and just thanks for that. And I would have to get you in for that. I said, no, you're grand. That's grand. Come in the next morning anyway. And Johnny just said, you're wanting in the title of Pike Welch, weren't you? I said, Jez, hi Ger, how are you? Can I ask you a question? He says, did yours go orange before it went black? He said, I think it was belonging to me granny or something. I think how long does it stay? I think 3 days after he had to shave it off. And I hope he forgives me for that now. That's just a funny story of that. Look, there are things that happen to that. So Bob had the soccer started in. Sure, I absolutely loved the soccer. We were in every kind of a tournament. Sure, I was telling you about one team. The team was Go Ross, Johnny Scully, Nolly McCarty, Billy Smith, Martin Devine with the long hair, Ray Horn, Gunnar Welch, Paddy Hines, Darby Dunn, Johnny Cunningham, Seamus Lynham, Sonny Lynham, and Magsy Scanlon. That was, but it was a great Boba team.
There's some podcast with that, wouldn't
But look at, there was some great tournaments. The town leagues there at that time, when Boba was playing Go Buddies. Sure, the rivalry.
Was that like a modern day Old Firm Derby?
Oh, it was like Manchester City and Man United. But it was huge. There was a bit of a debate one day. No one, Francis Ray never answered the question. There was, him and Ray Horn were so great. You may have got from his podcast even, but they were like brothers. But Ray took it was a kickoff now. You wouldn't hear, but Ray took the kickoff and kicked it from the kickoff and it went in over Francis Ray into the net. But Tommy O'Hara wasn't too happy with it anyway. But they always to this day think that Francis let the goal in. Well, we never got the answer, but
Francis, if you're listening.
If you could just verify that. The row is, everyone says, Francis Fury let that goal in. The start of the kickoff. So that was one controversy. But we're in the, we had the town league in Tullamore as well. Like, the crowds that used to come to the matches. We won it 2 years in a row at that time, but we're going for three. I don't think Tullamore wanted us to get the three in a row. So the pool was in a different pitch. It wasn't great. I think Farrell Kearney, we got a night out that night, but it was 2-2 and Farrell went to flick the ball over the bar. Now he was after having a few great saves. Just, he was unlucky. He flicked it into the top corner of our net. We lost 3-2 in that one.
Who was the best team, Good Buddies or Boba at the time?
Boba would have been for me the best team yet. But Good Buddies was there wasn't much between the teams. It was a kick of a ball, really. But the rivalry was great. So they were going to put the Boba team into the Division 1 league or something, but then we didn't want to compete with Good Buddies, you know, because that Ray Horn and all the boys were kind of playing with Good Buddies as well, so you would have split up there. Then we used to play a lot of them out in the park there where the GA is there at Marion Square. We were going to buy that one time as well. I know Mick Sheridan came in with that big
Mick came in with the checkbook
and was the end of that. We're all going to chip in that time, but look, it was great for the GA as well. But the Crackin' Boba was 90, but the town leagues, I absolutely loved the town leagues. And there was always tournaments among ourselves as well. Like, you'd have eight teams there with a seven-a-side, just in Bop alone.
But as I said, you came to Clara.
Yeah.
But you never went back to Rahan.
You couldn't. And Mick Sheridan always said, you seen the chimney. He always said, Mick had said to me when I met him, you seen the chimney, you're a lucky man. But the crack in the yard as well, we play soccer. Joe Rabbit, Jesus, Lord of Mercy, and Joe, we'd be out sitting in a car with Joe playing a guitar. Look, the crack was great. You know, the one day we're playing soccer outside and Red Joe Carnley, we looked up, he went up to get the ball on the roof and all we seen was his head. We didn't know where he was, so we all ran in real quick. We had to get Ned Deegan with the forklift and a couple of pallets to let the fork go up to try and catch his legs to let him back down. But you'd be sweating going back in, you know, with the overalls on, you know, all that. But then there was handballs tournaments. So that was brilliant altogether. There was always something going on above. So then we had the excursions. So we went off to Waterford and lads would get jarred, we'd have a bit of crack and go and buy a few presents or do something. We used to go to Bray as well. We went to Monaghan one time. Paddy Hammer was with us. Paddy says, leave this to me. I know my way around Monaghan and everything like that. So at the end of the night, we had a great session. We played a match. We were coming home. We couldn't find Paddy. Paddy was lost somewhere in Monaghan. No one could get him. And now we're half waiting to find Paddy. Everyone had to go looking for Paddy. But we were coming home. Paddy said to me, I was with Jimmy Kidney. We were starving. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. You know, you're raving off and we'd no way home. Paddy said, you come up and stay with me. We said, that's no problem, Paddy. In the green. Paddy was living in the green that time. We went up anyway. Paddy had a stew. He said, you'll have to eat the stew. Madge was there. So we were starving and we were looking around. And the smell of the stew was lovely. And Paddy gave us a drink as well. Just great cracking. It was going on for ages. I was saying, Jez, when's he going to give us the stew? But the next thing we heard an outrageous bang. There was glass all over the place. He had this dish with the stew. He had it on top of a gas cooker. It just blew up the whole lot. We got no stew.
No stew.
But we got to sleep in Paddy Hammond, so I have to thank him for that.
Very good.
But the cracking, going down to Kerry's end of a Monday morning, I don't know how the boys pop it. Lads wouldn't go back to work after dinner if you're out late the night before. Once you got half of the break, that was it, you were gone. Kerry's was a great old spot that time.
Your break and down to Kerry's.
That was it, yeah. Once the break came, 11 o'clock break, you might never see a lad again. Johnny Judge used to get hard to let a lad off, you know. There was no coming back. Yeah. But look at the crack. I mean, there was 11 pubs in Clara that time. When I came in, well, look, you had Daly's, that just only opened once here. You wouldn't remember that, you know, where the chip shop is there now, yeah. And you always remember Colin Farrell. I remember Colin would be, he was always waving at you going back to work. He'd always be smoking an old cigarette there and an old wave at you, you know, the crack. So when I came in first into Clara's, you'd be looking at Kinney's, the Christmas, there was always something there in the window, wasn't there? But just to finish off with Bopa, Bertie, we used to look up to Bertie as well there as well. Bertie was a great old character and, sure, he was always into something. Then they organised the parades. That was the Bopa parades. So we all got into that then as well. Magsie Scanlon got into it. We were doing the Wonderly Wagon. Magsie Sahana one day we were doing Mr. Crow. We weren't too bad walking. He said to me after, he was freezing. He was sitting in there and everyone was touching him going down. Well, we just said after, why didn't you put something into the wagon? Did he have to stay in the wagon all day? He said, he wasn't able to stand up after it. I always remember that. But Bertie had us up cutting down trees. Up at the monastery. We couldn't have been shot at the time.
Bertie.
Yeah, to put them on the Wonderly Wagon, you know, to try and get it looking Christmassy. We used to love that as well. But Bopo was great for things like that, you know. That was the first. The highlight of the Christmas parade for me used to be everyone else. Farrell Carnley was in a box. And you had Johnny Delaney, the leader of Pulley. Remember, he used to do Brutus. So one of the highlights was in the middle of the square. There'd be a trailer to come down, the box would be there, and the next thing this box would open, Farrell Carnley jumped out, he was the Hulk. Painted in green, it was absolutely brilliant. And all the kids had run.
We have that video on YouTube actually of Farrell doing the Hulk.
Are you serious? Yeah, now you see, there you go. But
yeah, from Bertie's archives.
No, there you go. But I think that was one of the highlights because all the kids are witnessing this Hulk and he was the best Hulk I've seen.
He was, brilliant, yeah.
Absolutely. But him and Brutus would have a big tussle in the middle of the square. Like, where would you get that? That's the great memories of that. Bertie used to be doing Mr. Judge. He was going around talking to the old lads with poor old Mr. Judge, Bertie would say. Yeah, but
spoke there at Valentine's there a few minutes ago and getting the card from Boba. Did you ever get any other cards then?
No, I think that was the last of the Valentine's cards for a while anyway. And if they were, I wouldn't open it until you go home. Anyway, you were nearly safer.
So where did you meet Jill then, Shawnee?
Jill, we were coming up in a Morris Minor, right? Jill was working, she got a job in the canteen. We was in a Morris Minor, really. It was Shawnee Bugley who ran, he was carrying this, or I was driving up. But she fell out in front of us on the bike. And we nearly ran over anyway like that. No, she's not great on the bike still. But we arrived into Boba. We're having working away, and at the break I said, it was, are you okay? I was sorry and all that, you know. So we had a cup of coffee, and then she used to get me, I used to always get the soup ahead of all the other boys.
Oh,
and I'd be going in and out. So then there was the centre used to be in Tullamore, you know. You wouldn't remember that now. It was a dancer. But before Jill came in the scene, that time you go over and you'd ask someone to dance and you get about 10 refusals. When you had hair, you go down, you look in at yourself, comb your hair and go back up and get 10 more when it's... But I met her in the centre then, and we danced in that for a while. You know the way you stay for the next dance after three? No, but after that, that's how I met Jill, really, in Popa, like that. She was
getting your soup first.
Getting the soup and the whole lot. But of all the crowd that was involved, she just liked me. The minute she see me, that was it, you know. She had only eyes for the king, that was it. I'd be shot for saying that.
Valentine's come up now, would you be romantic, Johnny?
Look, I'd always get Jill a card, yeah. I'm like that. I don't want someone to say, oh, look at this day, I'm getting her a card. I'd always tell into Tullamore somewhere. I wouldn't want anyone to see me. No, I always get her a card. And a bunch of flowers, something like that.
You go all out, right?
You just go for that now. There's a few of the brothers wouldn't agree with that now. But no, that, yeah, I'd always buy you a Valentine's card, yeah.
A little birdie told me actually you played a harmonica.
Oh, shiz. Now, who told you that?
Now, I had a vision to her right now, and I'm not the better of it since. But it was Shawnee serenading Jill Valentine's night with the harmonica, right?
Yeah.
Now, it sounded like this in my head. Would I be right there, Shawnee? I would. That's exactly now what happens.
The music in the background is better than my harmonica now. Yeah, yeah, that's not far out now. That's good. I like that.
So you had four kids then.
Brian, two lads, Brian and Aneen, the two girls came first, and the boys used to say when I was playing football, they'd say, you're not mentally, you have the lads, you know, that was slagging when you were young. Yeah, Brian, Ian and Sinead came first. It was Michelle, Ian and Brian, that's the way it is. If I get this right, you had Michelle.
Yeah. But tell you what, let's hear from one of them boys.
Hi Lloyd, it's Ian Monin here. I suppose I just wanted to say there's a couple of things that really stand out to me about my father. One would be how he manages to stay fit and injury-free all his life, actually, and up to the age of 60-odd. Maybe he can give you his age away. But, some man for doing that. And we would play soccer on Tuesday night over on the AstroTurf in Kilbeggan, and myself and brother Brian, along with Shawnee's grandkids, Dion and Keenan Conroy. And, you know, it's amazing to say that even for them to play soccer with their granddad, or for me and Brian with her father, and even throughout playing with Clara Town football, whether it was at the B or C team, you could be running around on a Sunday morning and you'd be calling him Shawnee. So some lad would look at you and you'd go, hey, da, pass the ball, and be kind of looking at you going, Jesus, your man's two sons playing football. But, you know, it's kind of a privilege, and it's something I've always cherished and always will. I won't be afraid of saying he's probably still one of the better lads we have on the field. Look, really, really good person, or inspiration for us. And then there's also times that we would normally have had the Christmas traditions, but we'd get together Christmas Eve and go into Tullamore. But you'd be planning to go for maybe a breakfast or a lunch, and sure, by the time you get from one end, the bottom of the street up to the far end of the street, it could take a couple of hours. Anyone you'd meet would be telling us the story about Shawnee, or he'd be telling us the story about this person. I marked him in hurling in 1987, or come here to me, this is, you know, my son, or this is guy that scored a winning point or a winning goal. So yeah, I suppose a sports fanatic is one of his attributes, and I think maybe he's in the wrong profession. He could have been in media like yourself, where talks a lot. But good character overall, and we wouldn't have it any other way. Best of luck with the rest of the interview, Shawnee. No pressure.
Oh, so that's Ian.
Ah, look, that was good, yeah. I tell you, he doesn't go easy on me when I'm playing football over there.
Does he not?
He's the only one that he takes the legs on me. He really lets them know he's not me down on the pitch anyway.
Actually, Ian was telling me offline that you celebrate your birthday with a very famous singer. So I was thinking maybe this is where you got your name, Elvis Presley.
Yeah. What, would you believe it if I tell you, my day of birth the same day as well?
Imagine that.
But I'm not as good a singer, so I can't sing.
Was it written in the stars, Shawnee?
Something in that, Chad, something in that. Well, like, everyone at Clara has a nickname.
Shawnee, you're known all over the place. You're like kind of a celebrity. I have a little piece here from your other son, Brian.
Just adding to Jack's comments earlier on, you know, something that never fails to surprise me is the amount of people that actually know you, Shawnee. One time I was over in Dubai with work, and I was working a stand trying to get sales. A guy was, you know, kept watching me from a distance, and I was talking to somebody, and I was trying to get rid of this person so that I could talk to the guy that kept looking at me, because I thought, do you know what, here's a chance to get a sale. So a few minutes later, the guy went and he walked over to me and he says to me, looked at my name tag and said, Monaghan. And I said, yeah. And he said, Jesus, he said, I have to ask you, are you into Shawnee Monaghan? And it was just one of them things. I said to him, I said, Jesus, how do you know him? And it was a story just back from years ago, but, you know, over in Dubai, people know him there as well. You know, I think his personality doesn't fail to kind of get him to that stage. You know, a lot of people know him because of that, and he's always out friendly, helping people. You know, and another time, you know, they finished school, I was working with Jump for Joy, saving up a few pounds for college. The guy driving the van at the time says to me, did you see that man there? And I said, yeah, but he didn't know that. Obviously, Shawnee was my dad. So, and he turned around and he said, he's the only man, he said, that I know that can flash, beep and wave at everyone at the same time, he said. You know, so that was, it's just another kind of typical highlight of him. You know, and doing the kind of stuff in the Court Hotel for the GA. And he ends up coming up through the middle of the whole floor, up through the aisles on a Honda 50. Now, they're warned before going in, the Honda 50 cannot be turned on, but I had to push it up. But of course, he turns it on, goes, nearly falls off the ramp. But usually, he's always up to some tricks. He always brings, you know, a lot of very positive conversation to everybody. He's always bubbly, always in great form at home and outside and work everywhere else. And he just really loves people. He's a real people person. And he'd always say to me, he said, Brian, he said, if you do anything in life, he said, just every day, he said, do a good deed. And he's a man true to his word. Look, Shawnee, don't change. Keep it going. Keep up the good work. And Lloyd, don't go too hard on him and ask him about some things that he's keeping to himself there. We're keeping it all good for today. All the best, lads.
Hello, that's Brian.
Oh, look at this, very nice. Yeah.
Where do we start there? First man ever to drive a Honda 50 in the Court of
Town. I'll tell you the story about that for a second. Father McGee, was it Father Connor? We were inside, and Martin Timpany said to me, so we never got a chance to rehearsal with the freaking, with
this
the Mar.
This is the lip sync now.
Yeah, yeah. So I got the loan of the month from my guy Kevin Casey, you see, in Tullamore. I went into Martin Timpany because we got no practice to put the, when I looked at the size of the stage, I thought it was going to be, it was like the star going up the yoke. I said, how are we going to get that bike up there? Martin Timpany says to me, whatever you do, you're not starting it. He says, you'll ruin the whole place with fumes. I said to Father McGee, there's a change of plan, you
smoke
know. Brian Gavin, I says, look at, we're going to have to push that bike up in that stage. And Brian Gavin said, how are you going to push a bike up in the stage? I said, I don't know, but Martin Timpany, not letting us. He closed the show, I said it. So I said to Father McGee, what do you think? I'll tell you what you'll do. Give it a kick, the bike. If it starts, keep going. He won't stop you. Well, I said, if that's coming from one of God's men, as I read him and say, I go with that. That was the story of that. But when we came to the stage, that was it. We flew it up. But anyway, but that was great crack there. So I love that. My little Honda 50.
Brian also said you love helping people and you're a bit of a people person.
Ah, yeah, sure.
Is there anyone you don't like?
I don't think there is. I don't think there is. Jill has sent me down to town, but she's given up sending me down for a pint of make. If you're in a hurry about that, and she won't send me down because I could go down to London's or somewhere. Someone will stop and we'll have a chat. And then there's no milk at home, and then we have a row when you go home. There's, or the loaf of bread. You know, you go down for 5 minutes and you're gone for an hour. That's the one trouble I have going down the town. Anyway.
Sean, have you got the harmonica with you? I know you played a bit earlier there with Michael or Careless Whispers.
Oh, jeez, I don't think anyone at Clare forgive me for playing a harmonica. Is there a spare one here, is there?
I think there is, actually.
What?
There's one here sealed in a box.
Oh, Jess, you're really putting me in a...
We have everything here, do you know what I mean?
Do you know what?
There's no stone unturned here, Sean.
Listen, the Late Late Show is nothing to this show. There's no show like a light show. I'll tell you that.
Go on, Sean, give us a few bars of that. You're in for a treat now. People of Clara never have heard this.
I'll give you... three bars of a, just a quick one, right?
Go ahead.
There you go. There's Simon Casey out there. Is he looking for the two-piece band? Is he? You could give us a shout there.
Simon, that's brilliant.
Thanks. Look, I only mess around and then I'll take like
party
that.
Piece, that's though,
anywhere I go, I just take out that and have a little bit of it. That's my introduction. Myself and Bertie blended one day outside Baggots. We'd be ran, yeah. I never forget that Christmas Eve where we're coming down. With John Law was outside Lundy's. I had the harmonica. You know, I can only play about three notes on the harmonica. So I took out the harmonica and played Jingle Bells. John took off his hat. There was a one coming out. She says, I'm terrible sorry, all I have is 30 cents. John said, that'll do. So we took the 30 cents. But the next thing a one came out, she threw a fiver in John's hat. She said, John, will you follow her down and give her the fiver? I said, we're not going to be doing this for the evening. But that was a part of it. But John's a great character.
Asher, he's one of the best. Shawnee, COVID must be hard for a person like you, normally outgoing and chatting people and that.
Well, especially when you're behind a mask, you can't. No, look, it's after giving us a bit of time to be together, maybe chatting and slowing down things. Everyone was going a bit too fast. But I think we're all sick of it now at this stage. It'd be nice to get back to some sort of normality. I go for a lot of walks now with Ken. He's the lady with the go. He has me out walking every day and going, man, we were in a racer here the other day. But look, it is very hard. It's hard for the family. It's hard for everyone. I feel sorry for like a Brian and all them young lads like that and Ian and your own, and even the lads, you know, young lads like yourself even. You want to get out. I'll tell you what I miss mostly. Going down and having an old crack in the pub or going to a party, you know, the bit of old banter.
Yeah.
I miss that fierce now. That's it's hard.
But you love music too, don't you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
You love different bands. And
yeah, sure. I remember going down to Killarney one year. I was dying for a bag of chips. And yourself and Simon Casey, you were playing. Do you remember when you were famous?
For a week.
No, but no. Again, I said to Jill, "What's going on in the chipper?" I went down. The whole place wanted to get into CE, but we went down to ANEC, isn't it?
That's it. Yeah.
You were playing, and I brought you up a couple of bottles of water. I was mobbed with all the young ones and that. They came to me and said to me, can we have to open the bottles? Can we keep the lids in the bottle for ye? But that was brilliant times, wasn't it?
I remember that, yeah. Yeah. Martin Devine was there as well.
That's right, Martin and Teresa was there.
For front row.
That's correct, yeah. Jeez, that was a brilliant night, yeah.
You like the High Kings as well, don't you?
Oh, I absolutely love the High Kings. That started off when my mother was looking at them one night years ago here, and she says, I'd love to go out to hear the High Kings. And I said to her, she says, Matt, what do you want to go out here to High Kings for? She said, no, I think they're great. So when they came out first, so I brought her and Lily Bracken, and I went, Brian came with me. He was only a young lad. He loved the High Kings. So after that, we brought them again, and then we started going to the High Kings ourselves. So we made a kind of, it's an annual for us. So this year was a bit of a letdown. We'd always go have the few drinks. We had a great session the last night they played. We were playing, George Murphy came out after it. You know, he was with them that time. And Joe Wynn was playing in Tullamore, and someone said, I said, I wonder would George Murphy sing an old song for us. And Jay, you couldn't ask him, says Joe. He's not going, he's going to do any gig. I went over, his mother and father was there. We're having a chat and sit down. And the next thing, I was telling George Murphy about the High Kings, and he said to me, I have a CD in the car. I go and get you. Say, better than Simon Casey, he said to me. I go and get you a CD. I have to buy Simon's. But he went down, he got me a CD. He came in, we had a pint of Guinness, and he got up. He was up there for 40 minutes singing. And we were there till 3 o'clock in the morning. Great session altogether.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Let's hear a little bit from George Murphy.
A big shout out there to Lloyd Bracken for his podcast there in Offaly. And I believe he has Shawnee Monaghan on as a special guest with him. I remember Shawnee from my time with the High Kings. He came to plenty of shows and I met him afterwards. Hope you're enjoying the tune, Shawnee, in lockdown. And yeah, hopefully see you at a show in the near future. Check out myself and my new band, The Rising Suns, and see what you think. I think we're onto something pretty special. And yeah, enjoy yourself and your time until we can be reunited by song somewhere in a live venue. Take care. All the best. George Murphy here.
Hello, there's George. Well,
Lloyd, I have to say, you are the king after that. I have to say that.
I'm big in the throne.
Where you get that. But look, that's brilliant, because it's funny how I just told that story now. With a great time for George. He's a great, he's like yourself for Simon there. You're just ordinary lads and enjoying a bit of crack.
Saying I'm an ordinary fella. Yeah.
Well, when you're not playing gigs, when we're not opening bottles of water for you. But that was lovely. Jez, thanks for that now. That was very nice.
You were talking about your working life and BOPA in particular there, but you have a fairly full CV.
Oh, Jez.
Taxi driving and everything.
Jez, I went out with Tommy. I taxi drive with Tommy Flanagan. The first run he sent me was out to Pulla. Bad mistake.
Never get back.
He sent me down the canal line. I think it was to Delaney's, and I went in, there was a smell of a fry going on, and right Lenny said to me, would you eat something? I says, right, well, yeah. I left the door of the car open to hear the walkie-talkie, but it was turned down a little bit. I couldn't hear anything, and so I came back out an hour later, it was really quiet. I said, this is a great job. I went back out, and Tommy Flanagan was going mad and the other end of the phone. He said, the whole place is looking to go to Tullamore, and you were out in Pulla, what are you doing? So he even told it on his birthday. He never sent me to Pulla, I think, again after that. Any run I got, that was with Tommy Flanagan.
Tony Mann in a taxi, I would say that would be a great job for people, but not for the employer.
No, not great like that. But you'd go in, I went in another night to collect Barney Dooley, and I was in a hurry, and he was in there, and oh, you'll have to wait. You know, lads, when you go into Clare, you have to wait even though you order. I came out Terence Moore or someone had the keys in my car stall as well. So Tommy was going mad again. He should have sacked me. No, I had great. The taxi was like a confession box. Everyone trusted you, and you'd hear everyone's problems going on, but it was a good crack. No, I loved it when I was at the taxi.
You were born in the morning as well, Sean.
I left BOPA, I think. I was 11 years in BOPA. And I left BOPA, and then I started doing taxi. I got a job. I was playing football with Rahan, and I was to bring my car somewhere one day, and I said to Peter Moore, I said, I have no petrol to bring that car anywhere. He said to me, you're not working. I said, no. So he said, put your name down the board. And I put my name down. Got started in board in the morning. So I was there a couple of years, and then I left there, and sure, I was doing a few jobs here and there. So I stumbled into everything, you know me. So I'm working with your sister now at the moment.
Tell us what you're doing now, Sean.
Oh, Jesus. No, hold on. I work with the special needs now, and it's a great number, and I get great crack out with the lads and the girls, and that's great. The first time I went in, your sister was out to walking in, telling me she was out for a few weeks with him. I was in drinking tea, and that was your nuts and bolts to me, and having an apple tart. She said to me, well, Jess, what are you doing here today? I said, look, I'm working here. She said, what are you doing? She says, I'm the manager. That was the first introduction to Celine. It's rewarding and it's good. It's grand working with him like that. I've done several jobs up and down, you know, but great crack.
Going to hear another friend of yours here now, Shawnee, Martin Devine.
Shawnee Monaghan, where do we start? Always wanted to be a Clara man. Came to work in Clara when he was 16 or 17 in BOPA. Decided that he liked soccer. He was a good soccer player. He grew into the Clara life in a big way. Became an honorary Clara man, but he wouldn't be out here with Clara. Shawnee was well known for his wit, his turn of phrase. We were all working in Tullamore one time in a meat factory, and it wasn't me the best. So for some reason one day the bone man never arrived one week, and there was bones everywhere. We were all in drinking tea, and this fella comes in, and Shawnee says to him, who are you like? He says, I'm here, health inspector, I'm here to inspect the place. Place is in a mess. And Shawnee looked at him and said, you picked the wrong day to do it. I was in Kilbeggan at one time as manager, and we were getting hard enough to get Shawnee. Myself and Kevin Flaherty, Lord of Mercy, and him came up with a plan. So Shawnee was the most expensive player on there for a while. We gave him a tracksuit, two bags of spuds and a bag of turnips. We went too long for one day. I was with Moat, and we were short. It was a Saturday. We always got hard to feed him with a Saturday, so Shawnee was well past at this stage, but he said to me that he'd come along, he'd bring his boots. We had to give him a T-shirt. So outside of a place in Longford called Barry, we'd stop in the middle of the road, take photos of Shawnee getting his T-shirt. But about 20 minutes ago, we were one down, things weren't looking good. He said to me, put me on. He said, I'd change things. We did. We were beaten 4-0. We went to Mount Melick another day, and Shawnee had the jerseys and everything. And playing at 11:30, at 11:30, no sign of Shawnee. So there was no mobile phones at the time. So the referee has gone bananas. And about 10 to 12, Shawnee arrives into the pitch. Says the car boiled. He had to get water of someone on the road. But we found out after, Shawnee forgot to turn right in Mount Melick. And last but not least, we used to do a thing in Boba called Top of the Pops, which would be the modern day equivalent of lip sync. So Shawnee was doing a Brendan Shine number. He went through a lobby wash down. He had an accordion, but he'd old button pressed in and was silent. So when it was over and he got a great reception, he was getting on off the stage. Julia Bracken, Lord Immersion, said, Sean Mullen, you're the nicest accordion player I've ever heard. Shawnee, best of luck. And we all know that you love Clara now. It's a pity you didn't love it years ago when you could have won a senior medal. Thank you, Shawnee.
Well, that's a great compliment. I would look at Martin of mine. I played football with Martin for years. Martin was one of the best guys and a great soccer player as well. I tell you, you wouldn't get by him too handy. If you did, you'd know about it. But just to tell a story about Martin. Martin gave me a lift one day, and we were Tom Sullivan, I think, or Ollie Holmes was the referee. That time referees would be thumbing a lift. Hop in there, says Martin. We're going up in the car. Martin had an Avenger car. It was starting to rain a bit. There was no dressing room, so he said we'd tug out in Martin's car. The referee thought, we were playing the County's Cup, and we had a good, great team at the time. We're out, the game was on about, I said, all right, let me close in the car, Tom said. Yeah, no problems, says Martin. You know, Martin, game was on about 10 minutes, and so next thing Martin made a tackle. Now, there was no getting by Martin Devine. It was, do you remember that rugby tackle the other day? But he had a bit of a tackle, it was a bit of a crunch, and the next thing, I didn't mean it, says Martin. And the next thing, Tom Sullivan said, now, Martin, off you go. Give him a red card. So, go on. And Martin was giving out to him. So he said, what you do? I would have feel altogether, you know. So Martin walks over and the whole crowd's there. Took Tom's clothes off and says, Tom, I love your clothes here. That's just one of Martin. No, Martin was a great player himself. And we had great cracks and great laughs there.
Where did we start? How did you play for so many teams? GEA with Rahan, Shamrock, Selector for Clara, yeah. Soccer with every team in the Midlands.
Look, I just, anyone that knows me, I love football. I love that and like that. But I played senior football with Rahan. I played 20 years senior football with Rahan. I played the only one I ever wanted to win was a senior county medal. That was growing up. The one thing for me was a senior county medal.
That was the Holy Grail.
That was the Holy Grail. I would still, that's why young lads, when you train teams, I just give Aunt Marie Harm for a senior county medal. I won the senior B in 75, and I was a member of the Rahan team in 73, but I was 16. I was just too young to make the team. And I trained with all of them. And 74, I won a senior league, but I thought I was always going to get a senior. But what that meant, while China was winning six in a row, and you had Fermanagh winning five in a row. So when I was playing football, when I go to play Welsh Island, you were always playing Liam Connor. I mean, these guys were all stars. You go to Fermanagh to try in the Mick Lowry or Sean Lowry, one of them lads. Gracefield, one of the Fitzgeralds. You were always playing in all stars. But Clara had some great teams. They should have won more as well. We always had great tussles with Clara. Played in three county semi-finals. The nearest thing I got to a senior county final was 1984. Matt Connor with that crash. The car crash, Matt Connor, right? So Matt Connor, there was a tournament for him, and it was ran like the senior championship. So sure, all the Kerry team, everybody was there. We got to the final. Of course, Catch Buckley was refereeing. No, I'm not. I wasn't Catch as well. But so I think Donny Levin missed a 21-yard free, the last kick of the game to win it. But it went to extra time, and I think we were winning by 2 points. Someone, one of our lads, was to pick up the ball, and they got free, and there best be a pint at the end, but that's the nearest I got to the senior county. Yeah.
What would be your highlight, Shawnee? Do you reckon of your sporting prowess?
Sure, look at it. Playing with Clara, the soccer was great. Playing with Shamrocks, that would be now, that was brilliant as well. But getting the cup finals, I played in six intermediate hurling finals with Rahan, but I only won one. I won the last one. That's the one I shouldn't have won. I lost the ones I should have won. That's the only thing. I was asked to play with Clara a few times in the hurling that, but I was asked to play the last time. I was after breaking my finger playing in Burr twice just before that. I retired in 1984, but I played in three senior finals at 44 as well in that.
But did you ever really retire though, Shawnee? As a junior B hurling there, with Clara, there's a picture going around, 59 years of age.
I got to play with Brian and that. That was, would you believe that? Your man, I'll tell you a story. The lad I was in, I think it was Georgie Dagan with St. Ryan or something, but he said, do you see that lad down there? He said, I was 54 or something. Your man says, he's nearly 40, he said. Look, and he's playing full forward. I said, that's brilliant. I said, I'm nearly 55 and I'm playing here and you. Like, your man nearly died. Right? But look at, I'd play football a lot and the boys keep getting me to play soccer. Just, I'm lucky I got no injuries, you know, things like that.
How do you keep fit, Johnny, still? You know what I mean? You're still fresh.
Look, I was just naturally fit. I've never gone to a gym in my life. I wouldn't do a gym. The most thing I'd ever do is go for a walk. I don't do running. I wouldn't run now. I'm doing a bit on a racing bike here for the last few weeks with the COVID. That's not even my bicycle. I got the loan of it after grandson.
But few people won't be surprised to hear that.
No, look at anyone that knows me. I love football. I loved playing with Clara, and I play with the great Clara teams, like with Ray Horn and them. And back, I played in every decade for Clara. Back in the 70s, Ray Horn and Johnny Scully and Tommy O'Hara, all them fellas. And then I would have played with the next generation. And after that, I tell you what, I love the Kieran Kine the tournament. This would have been our 10th year, and it would have been 10 years to play in it. I absolutely loved that because Kieran was a gentleman and a great footballer. He was a great GA player as well.
Yeah.
But I absolutely loved the GA, but I loved the soccer. When I came to Clara, that soccer was second to none. The atmosphere and the crowds going to matches. But there was always tournaments and everything in Clara, you know yourself.
Yeah. You mentioned Kieran Kine there. I'm hoping to do a little piece about Kieran in the future.
That'd be brilliant, though. Yeah. That'd be absolutely brilliant. Kieran was a legend. He's a great. He never got to play at over 35s. He always said, I'd wait for you.
Yeah.
But when the over 35s come in, I was 50. I was playing in Conor Frawley below and frigging that low, and it nearly came in too late for me. But the one thrill I got out of that was the best 7-0 Willow Park up here one evening. And we were all real slow and everything. So we done a bit of training with Paddy Dolan or something. And the next thing we came out, we played them in the final. We bet them 3-1. They nearly went mental down there. So they thought they were going to hammer us. Now, look at another just a bit with the two lads. We played midfield for 1 year in the Clara C team. I got a great thrill out of that with my two sons. That's one of my highlights as well. I won't forget that one anyway. We got one great year out of them.
Shawnee, indoor soccer was a huge part as well of your life growing up.
The indoor football in Clara was like a World Cup. There was about 34 teams and 4 teams trying to get back in. Every team in the Midlands was in it and all over. But when I was young, we started off in for a bit of a crack. Ketchbury, Johnny Graham, myself, Billy Bugley up the New Road and his two brothers. We were called the Potshots. But we got banned a lot of games. We used to use the one Tommy and Johnny Graham and catch. We had some great laughs. But I was looking at Johnny Scully and them boys were all winning. At Lowen Town was winning. And I was working with Seamus Lynham and Jimmy Kidney at the time. We said we might try and win a good team. So we started playing. We became Coney's men. And you had we had the Alley Cats, Johnny Scully, Bertie, and them. Of course, Bertie McMahon is the one fella that can see you can achieve anything. And Bertie McMahon is the man for me. We were playing indoor football. Everybody had their fans there. We were on the top slot of a Thursday night. Coney's men. You can imagine Paula, Clara, and the banter. So we all had our fans. Mrs. Carley and the mill used to always have a little party for us. After every game, on Thursday night, we'd head down to Mrs. Kelly's in the railway station, down at the train station there. There was Trisha, Bridie, the women. We used to go in there every Thursday night. Mrs. Kelly used to make me a corn cake. We'd stay for hours. It used to be 1 o'clock in the morning and we'd go on home. I remember one day going home from Dindor, I ran out of petrol. Not like me now, just at the start. The boys pushed me down to Tom Nocton's. Tom was closed at the time. It was late in the night and I gave the window a little knock like that and Tom came out with a coat on his shoulder and it was raining. I had a Capri car. How much do you want? He said, what's wrong? He said, yes, I'm out of petrol. I said, how much do you want? He said, I put £2 worth in that. I said to him, he said, I'm going to put a fiver in that. I said, I haven't got a fiver. He says, well, I'm not getting up again. He says, you'll be up the New Road. He said, you'll be back down again. That was a funny incident. But the indoor football, we used to get hair bands and inside that, it was Kerrigan's, had a shop there, right, at Heine's. You'd go in, the crowds used to be great. Everyone had their fans. I mean, there was the fire, the Cozy Fires with John Nestor and them. They had the Lions then. But Bertie's team, the Alley Cats, right? It was organised. Joe Keyes and them came in and Christy McGinnis. There was four lads carrying two cats upside down, the Alley Cats. And we had your man, the bagpipes, out with Tullamore, out with the Bridge House. He was playing the night of the final. But we never won it, but there was, I think there was 300 that night. It was packed, sir. There was all the teams that was in. The night before that, there was, I think there was, 300? So I went up to catch me and I couldn't get in at the bar. He gave me a mineral in that. And everyone had their own fans of that. No, but Ryan was refereeing it. You had Johnny, just in the night of the final, there was, I think there was, imagine this though, there were the choir boys, Martin Devine and them, they were playing before us with Pat Hagan, John Roche, John Grinnan, Peter Toohey and Willie Allen. And you had the voters as Paul Lone and Mawapula, PJ Ross and Shawnee Buckley and Tony Buckley and them. And then at 6:30 there was a junior final, 7 o'clock was the senior final. So it went down and on to the big one was ours. But Bertie and them Behas,
was there a bit of fanfare now when the final night was?
Sure, the noise and that and the crowd and the banter, Coney's men and alley cats and the shouting and the screaming. Well, Johnny Scully came up with a plan, you see. Johnny was my idol in indoor football. And Bertie, in fairness to Bertie, you couldn't get by him in the Star. Frankie Dolan knows that. He might tell that story sometime. He had him up, hell up in the wall one time, him and Frankie. But we were there that night. We scored first. So the crowd, we went mad and we ran over and jumped at one another like that. That time there was no kickoff. So Johnny Scully said, if the boys score, you throw the ball out to me to Red Joe. And he had it in the net. While we were shaking hands, it was 1-1. So the ball was thrown real quick. Marty Robbins kicked the ball. It hit the bar and down. But no, Brian gave a goal. We were about 2-1 that night. But it was a great crack. And it was a great. Me and Bertie still have to dispute that goal. But I can't rob him of that hand. Or congratulations, Bertie. Fair play to you.
I tell you what, let's hear from Bertie now.
Oh, my God.
Shawnee, delighted to know you're going on radio. It's wonderful. A better man couldn't go on it. I remember all our great days together. And one great incident I remember and was back in 1976. Yourself, Shawnee Buckley and a Shawnee Johnston. We went round with Iran. Also fond memories, of course, Shawnee, I have of you as a sportsman. And I want to say this to you, Shawnee. You're one of the best sportsmen that I came across during my time. I say I can recall playing against you, of course, in the indoor football. Yeah, we had a tremendous game that time. It went to two parts of extra time. And I know you said we robbed you and all that, but sure, look it. You were thinking of my old age and suppose you said, give the old trophy to Bertie anyway, he's getting on. But to prove the great team you were, you come back the next year and won it. And it's wonderful to see a person like you, so fit. I know that you're still a very young man, but I believe you can run as good as any young lad. And when you're playing, you're running the young lads off their feet. So I want to say it here. I had the pleasure of being at your wedding and all, a wonderful day. The best of luck to you, your family, and all associated with you, because you were a true gentleman. And hope to see you in the near future.
Thanks very much, Bertie. That's a lovely compliment. Thanks. That really after making me night now. But Bertie, you're a legend yourself and you've done so much for Clara and I've always looked up to you, so thanks for that.
He never forgets you. You let him win the final there.
I don't think I let him win that final if the truth be known. He won it himself.
Right, Shawnee, our last little piece of audio from another Shawnee, Shawnee Buckley.
Myself and Shawnee, we know one another for years, lad, even though he only lived down the road from me. We really only got to know one another in about 1982, when I started to play with Herslip, and he was already playing with Herslip. Then we started to play seven-a-sides together, and we started picking teams, and of course the ritual we used to have that time was, he'd come up to my house for a cup of tea, and we'd talk tactics, and who was going to play here, and who was going to play there. And then after the game was the same thing. And of course, we'd be playing seven-a-sides, or 11 asides anywhere. We often played in Kilcormac at 9 o'clock in the morning till 9:30 at night. So then, when Shawnee was retiring, well, he said he was retired, but I went up to the house one day and I was playing with Ballycumber and I knew we needed one more player from somewhere. So I went up and said to him, Shawnee, are you going to play? And of course Shawnee said, no, my back is gone, I can't play. And I said, sure, I'll bring you over as far as Costello and Moore and he'll sort you out. And the next thing anyway, he ended up playing with us in Ballycumber in the County's Cup and won it. That was, I think, in 2000. That proved how good of a player he was. He was in his 40s that time, and he probably played with the oldest midfield ever, Sonny Lennon, myself, all in our 40s. The most funniest story I can tell about Shawnee was one St. Stephen's Day we were out playing in Horslip and we were representing Michael White as we did every year. The snow was falling. It was about 3 inches thick in the ground. And the next thing, half time came and I couldn't wait to get into the car. And all Renault 5 he had at the time. And no heater or nothing in it. So I jumped in anyway. And the next thing he jumped in after me. So the next thing the referee blew the whistle and says, "Now, Shawnee." Shawnee said to me, "Now, Shawnee, come on, we may go." And I said, "Shawnee, I'm not going down in that cowl." And he says, "So we may, there's trophies up for this." So we go out. Anyway, he persuaded me to get out in the long run. But it wasn't the trophies with Shawnee. It was more the competition and the competitor that was in him. That's why he really wanted to get out of the game. He was one of the most athletic players I ever played with. And we knew one another off by heart. And he was so fit and he'd give 100% for the team at all times. Testament to him, he was never sent off. He never got booked. All I want to say is I wish him the best of luck, no matter what he does in life, from a good old friend.
So that was your good friend, Shawnee Buckley there.
Thanks, Esther. Great memories there together going up. One of the greats there, Shawnee. But only from, I wouldn't have won that County's Cup. There's a long story we haven't time to tell about tonight.
Brian thanks. Mentioned earlier there that you could have been in media. Any regrets there that you could have been on?
I could have made a few guest appearances, all right.
You had a stint on TV before, the Brain Count Homecoming.
Oh, yeah.
That video that Christian Tracy made.
Yeah, I was going around Canvas with Brain Count one night and we were down in somewhere in Clara, but we said to the woman, would you give us a vote? No, she says, I'm not voting for any politician. I don't know who it was. I think your sister or someone was with me. We were there for a while and I says, does your husband like music? And she says, he does. And I said, well, I play him a tune in the mountain organ. So she said to me, come in. And we played, I don't know, it wasn't the town I love so well anyway, or something like that. But he loved the tune. She made us tea and we got a slice of bread. And they gave us, we brought them down, I think, the following Thursday. We get, and they gave us a vote.
So the mouth organ got the vote.
So we got, that's a vote you have for Brian Cowan, yeah.
So why are you Fianna Fáil, Shawnee?
My father was always Fianna Fáil. My mother was a kind of a Fine Gael now and again. But I remember Cowan standing in a chair in Pulla shouting. He used to always come to Coney's in Pulla. And I wasn't into, I'm not into politics really, anyone that knows me, but I knew Brian down the years and I always liked him. He was a nice fella, but so we started Canvas, we were asked to go on Canvas with Brian. I wasn't into politics, but we knocked some great cracks out. We kind of, the banter and the crack and the laugh was great, but anyone that knows me, I'm not really into, I don't really vote, but Fianna Fáil is one of my favourites anyway. But look, at I wish that Barry and them all the best now again. I think it's time for me to hang up the boots there.
You never thought of running yourself then, Shawnee?
No, I tell you, if I couldn't do something for someone, I couldn't be a politician because I couldn't say no. I could have been a traffic warden one time, but I couldn't put a sticker in anyone's car.
Shawnee, we're going to do a quick fire round.
Right, go ahead, okay. Jason.
Yeah. So you're ready for this now? Shawnee Monaghan, quick as you like.
Oh, jeez. Right, okay, you know I left school now at 14.
What actor would play you in a movie?
Oh, it'd have to be Tom Cruise.
If you weren't the King of Clara, who would be?
Oh, it'd have to be Bertie McMahon.
First car you ever bought?
A Volkswagen.
First thing you'd buy if you won the lotto?
Oh, I'd buy myself a brand new house.
Last movie you saw?
Oh, it'd have to be Mission Impossible.
What actress would play Jill in a movie?
Oh, that's easy. That'd have to be Julia Roberts.
First album you ever bought?
Oh, Joe Dolan.
Best thing about Clara?
I love the people and the crack and the crowd and everyone, the musicians.
Would you rather have more time or more money?
Oh, more time.
More time.
More
time. And the last one, Shawnee, it's a £1 million question, an actual £1 million question. But the difference is that this week, okay?
Right.
We went all out. The budget is gone. Thanks to McManus Pharmacy down there. We've spent the budget.
Oh, thanks, Brian.
And we have a phone a friend in this. So this is an option. You don't have to use it. Okay? Oh,
you're right.
But it's there if you want. Okay? Are you ready for your £1 million question?
Yeah, go ahead, Lyne.
Shawnee, Tomáš Masaryk was the first president of which country? A. Czechoslovakia, B. Poland, C. Hungary, or D. Yugoslavia?
I was trying to think there. I was going for Hungary at one stage, or Yugoslavia, but you know what? You have me in that one.
Don't forget now, you have a phone, a friend, but you don't have to use it.
I'll tell you what I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to phone a friend, lad. I'm nearly sure it's Hungary, but I can't be for losing £1 million.
Okay, let's get your phone a friend on the line. It's Martin Devine.
Oh.
Martin Devine, this is Lloyd Bracken here on What's the Story podcast.
Hi, Lloyd.
Martin, we have your friend Shawnee Monaghan here. He's stuck on the million-pound question, and you're his phone a friend. I'm going to hand you over to him now. You have 30 seconds. Shawnee Monaghan.
Martin, how's it going there?
I
could buy you a caro with this for £1 million here with Live. Thomas Masaryk was the first president of which country? Czechoslovakia, Poland, Hungary, or Yugoslavia? I nearly think it's Hungary.
If you're Hungary, so am I. I would have thought it was Holland, but Holland's not there, so.
Okay. What do we go with, Martin?
Oh, sure. Go with your gut.
Go with Hungary. How sure are you? Are you 100% sure?
Your 30 seconds is up.
Well, I had me supper, so I'm not that hungry.
Okay, I'm going to go with Hungary.
We'll keep Martin on the line.
What'd you say his name
hungry.
Is again?
Thomas Masaryk. The correct answer is A, Czechoslovakia.
Oh, Martin.
Want to check that out.
Listen, we'll have to settle for back down in Baggots again, the back door.
Anyway, check it out, Sean. I think I could be wrong. Lloyd's always wrong.
Thanks anyway. Thanks. We're back to pints and baggies.
No problem.
Thank you, Martin. Bye-bye.
Shawnee Monaghan, you were wrong, the 2E. God, I thought you would have got that.
Yeah, well, normally when years ago when we were down, we'd always get Martin to fill in a farmer. They went, you could put your house in Martin with that. But he's losing his touch there now.
Shawnee, we have one last little piece of work for you. We have our Stodge Face competition, loads of Stodge Face goodies, and they're going to a lucky winner. I have them all here. I've done them earlier on. There's lots and lots of entries from Instagram and Facebook as well. So, Shawnee, do the honours there.
Okay, I'll just raffle them up a bit here. Yeah. Okay, that's grand. I think it's Kelly Barry.
Kelly Barry,
is it?
Yeah, Kelly Barry, well done, Kelly.
Yeah, well done, Kelly. Enjoy.
Kelly Buckley, indeed.
Kelly Buckley, is it? Okay, enjoy, Kelly.
Have you any advice for anyone growing up nowadays, Shawnee?
A bit of respect and be thoughtful and kind, and I think you won't go far wrong there. That's been my advice to any young lad.
Geraldine Lynham said on Facebook you could write a book. Did you ever think
Well, tell her thanks for the cornbread of her mother and looking after me and everything like that. Tell her that'll be in the first page.
Karen Monaghan said you're a great uncle. She wants to know who's your favourite niece.
Oh, Karen's always my favourite niece. She knows that. I don't have to tell her that.
And Kathleen O'Brien says, no lies now, Shawnee. Did you tell any? We didn't tell any lies there.
No, because her granny and my granny is sisters. I told you that. That's the truth. I can't tell her any more than that. And tell her we'll be back to hugs shortly, hopefully.
Lastly, we have to say happy birthday to Carla Perez.
Yes, I better not forget that one. That's Celine's daughter-in-law, is it?
That's it, yeah.
So a big happy birthday there, and hope you have a great day. Enjoy.
Brilliant. Shawnee, happy. That's the podcast. That's it.
Look, at Lloyd, it was absolute pleasure here being with you. You're doing great work with Clara, and everybody knows that. Every Thursday we're waiting to hear who's going to be on. And just before I finish up, I just want to say thanks to everyone who sent me in messages. I also like to thank all the family. Jill, Sinead, Michelle, Ian, Brian and grandkids. We're all great family, always there for each other.
Shawnee, we normally finish out the podcast with a Clara artist because we try and support them here on the What's the Story podcast. So who are you going to finish out with?
Well, one group played at my wedding 41 years ago was Freedom. And from one king to another, I think it'll be Jerry Rock.
Man, Shawnee, thanks a million.
No problem, Lane. Thank you.
I'm longing for to see, for there's not a spot in Ireland that's half so dear to me. I recall the years I lived there, sure I never wore a frown. Happy were my boyhood days on the streets of Claretown. Frederick Street, I used to ramble with a young girl by my side. Close by the Brosna River, where tranquil waters lie. We could see St. Anthony's College from the bridge at Charlestown. Golden memories still linger on the streets of Clarettown. The old mill and the courthouse are a part of history's page. At the hall I often listen to a witty Clara sage. Then I'd make my way up River Street and call the Christie Cowans. There I'd drink a health to freedom and the streets of Clarettown. The flour mills are now silent, no more workers to be seen. Some people call that progress in this little Isle of Bree. At the railway station we would gather, watch the trains run up and down. They brought back many exiles to the streets of Clarettown. And he always disappears, but the chapel bells remind us of the values we hold dear. One wish I hope God grants me before the wheel of life turns round is to meet with my old comrades on the streets of Clarettown. Is to meet with my old comrades on the streets of Clarettown.
McManus Pharmacy, Main Street, Clara are here for you, thanking you all for your understanding and patience during this difficult time. Get prescriptions filled, fast and in confidence. Phone or text ahead and we'll have what you need ready when you are. We have a huge selection of health and beauty products in store, as well as a private consultation room. If you have a health or well-being query, call today on 057-936-8852 or WhatsApp 085-851-7959. From all the team here at McManus Pharmacy, stay safe and well.
You just listened to What's the Story with Lloyd Bracken. Check out all our social channels for info on new episodes. Oh, and thanks for listening. On the Town.